Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, at this point, Dak Prescott's got to just be straight up offended. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We leave on Friday. What happens later in the day? Not only Jordan Love, but also Tua Perloff both get massive extensions. 4 years, $220 million for Jordan Love. 4 years, $212 million for Tua. We can dive into the contracts. I actually love them both for very different reasons, but... Okay, and then there was one. Here's Dak Prescott. Even Matthew Stafford agreed to a restructure over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Dak is the clear outlier, and I know there was a contract that was offered last week, and so far crickets. I don't know if this is coming.
Why do the Cowboys want to be like everybody else? Because you know that 70% of these deals are not going to work out. Not 70, at least 50%. I mean, look at some of the big deals. Like, is Deshaun Watson working out?
No.
Is Jalen Hurts going to work out?
Well,
probably not. TV. Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Kyler doesn't look as bad, but yes, okay. I see.
Kirk Cousins, $45 million to the Falcons.
Yeah, no, that's silly.
But there's a lot of Josh Allen has worked out. Generally, though, there's a lot of risk. So, what is wrong with the Cowboys taking one more year, Maggie, to see if this works?
Here's why this is silly for the Cowboys. It's always been silly. It will continue to be silly. Is because they don't actually have any leverage here. Like, it'd be one thing if you actually had a little bit of leverage, but Dak Prescott has it all. There's a no tag clause. There's a no trade clause. So if he balls out this year, the number goes up so astronomically, and he's a year older, and all the things that may be inhibiting the Cowboys from signing him in the first place... All those things just get more magnified if they just wait even longer.
What do you mean balls out? Like, define balls out. Does he win a? Does he get to the NFC title game?
He could win the MVP. I mean, that's
not
so crazy.
Who cares? They need to win a playoff game.
Well,
so if you're giving me some playoff success and finally you're breaking this streak of ineptitude in the postseason, then I'll take that and pay whatever you want.
Okay.
But that's the thing. He's got to win in the playoffs, so they have to see.
Okay, but here's the thing. You actually don't have to win in the playoffs to get a new contract. You want to know how I know that? I just watched Tua get one. He hasn't done anything in the playoffs, and he just got tons of money. I mean, Jordan Love is one of the biggest unknowns we have. Yep. You think he's going to be good? I think he's going to be good. Do you know how many games he started in his career? A whopping 18.
You know how many he's played well in? 9. But...
yeah.
That's the point. We've seen Dak Prescott hit this wall, and at a certain point, the Cowboys have to say, we have to do something differently, or we're just going to keep hitting this wall until he retires at 40.
Okay, but here's my problem with that. We're talking about the Cowboys, obviously, Dak Prescott. Are you sure the problem's actually your quarterback? Because that's where I feel like the Cowboys are making a mistake here. You know, you lose that game to the Packers. There's a lot of reasons why they lost that game. And to... dangle, obviously Mike McCarthy's going into the lame duck year, but to put it on Prescott, he wasn't good, but the defense was bad. So
I know that's true, but that doesn't make Dak Prescott a smart signing just because the defense was bad. Two negatives don't make a positive.
I'm just saying I think more often he has not been the problem as opposed to other things that need to be diagnosed.
I totally agree. I think Dak is slightly underrated, but that doesn't matter. That's a reality here. If they pay him $60 million per year tomorrow for the next 5 years, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're not going to be celebrating.
Okay.
You're going to be groaning.
Well, here's the thing. Look at what these contracts are. They're 4 years. Maybe there's a year left.
Tua was 4 years.
Tua's four.
Well, the others are all five.
And Tua, because it's like adding on to like a year they already have left and stuff like that. Here's the thing about Tua. Tua's four, but it's actually like two. If we get into the nitty gritty of the details, they can get out before 2027. So of 2024.
That's three.
Yeah, I guess three. 25, 26, and you get out. So it's four, but it's actually three. With Dak, you're saying 5 years. Is it actually going to be five?
What?
It's not really. And he's 31. It's not like he's 36 years, 37 years old.
Most of them are five, really four. The Dolphins somehow reached a deal with Tua where they made it four instead of three.
Because they front-loaded it with a ton of money.
They don't have a ton of faith in him to stay healthy. So I think the Dolphins at least were a little smart on that. But reality is, even if it's 4-3 or 5-4, whatever, You have to. You can't ignore the fact that they keep on blowing it in the playoffs. I mean, this is a problem. How are they going to get over the hump? I mean, they're not going to change their GM.
And don't most people think that he's actually the problem?
He could be, but that doesn't make it.
We're talking about Jarrah, of course.
That doesn't make it okay to just keep doing it. I mean, nothing's going to change there. That's the reality. So what are you going to change? You're not going to change. You might change a coach. Okay.
Yeah.
That's very possible.
That could definitely help. I mean, they waited way too long on Jason Garrett to change him out. And Mike McCarthy, I think, has been fine. That was a terrible loss to the Packers, but he's actually been fine.
So if they do pay $60 million, say they figure out something this offseason, they pay $60 million, say it's like effectively 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
You're good with that. You're celebrating if you're a Cowboys fan.
Definitely, because here's the thing. I know they haven't done pads yet. I think the Cowboys are off today, and then they're into pads tomorrow in their training camp in Oxnard. But have I seen Trey Lance throwing bombs? And I just missed it because all the footage that I saw of the training camp was him not pushing the ball down the field at all. We'll see if that changes. It's still early. And Cooper Rush is not your guy. And in fact, it was actually a very funny moment where Diane Rossini, friend of the show, came on with you guys when I was on vacation. I was so jealous that I missed her in studio here. She does a podcast now with Chase Daniel. And they had Stephen Jones on the pod. And Chase goes, did you ever think about signing me? And he goes, we couldn't afford you. We go so cheap on our backup quarterback because we pay our starter so much money. So Cooper Rush is not your guy, right? They're kind of telling you, we're putting all of our eggs in the starter's basket. And if you don't have Dak there, and this is my long way of saying, if you don't have Dak there, who do you have? And I don't want to leave it up to the Cowboys because, to be honest, are they great at drafting quarterbacks? They're good at drafting offensive linemen. They're maybe good at drafting corners. There's very some specific things they do well. I don't think quarterback's one of them. They've gotten very lucky with Romo and then Prescott. Some of the other guys they've drafted have not been awesome.
Regardless, though, first of all, the fact that the quarterback's not on the roster is a huge value. You have to clear out your cap to start over again, or you have to struggle. Like, that's the only way to get better is to rebuild. You can't rebuild a quarterback with some backup quarterback on your roster. When has that ever worked? There's no Steve Young to Joe Montana. That's not a realistic plan. They use a first-round pick on Jordan Love, but you have to clear your cap space out to start over a quarterback, right? You can't have $62 million going to Dak Prescott.
Right, so you have to draft somebody, but they're not going to be
Or sign somebody.
Okay, but that's going to be expensive. Like, if it's Kirk Cousins or if it's Aaron Rodgers or if it's Matthew Stafford or one of these guys who's a veteran, they're not cheap.
Right, but they're going to have all this freedom because they're not going to pay Dak Prescott $60 million. So do a short term with a Tom Brady type if you can find him. Yeah. And I know the Tom Brady type sounds like a lot, but Tom Brady was easily available that year. They probably should have signed him. I just think that there's a lot of value in sort of clearing the decks at quarterback. I think they might sign Dak this offseason. I don't think it's done by any means. They might let him play out and sign him. This is total Jerry. Let the value get as high as possible, then sign him. You know, he's a
excellent business.
He's a buy high, sell low guy. So I don't know. I just feel like if he did sign this deal, and it could happen, I don't think Cowboys fans are going to be as happy as you think they are.
I think it's more value for Dak to actually leave, to wait, because he's going to clean up and if he goes to the open market. 855-212-4227. So that's where we're starting today. Should Dak be offended? Jordan Love, 18 starts. Tua, 51 starts. But also, I mean, you talk about injury concerns. I'd take Dak Prescott's ankle in a walking boot every now and then over what Tua may be dealing with, who could be one concussion away from having some real serious issues. Can I bring up one other small point that I saw being reported in The Athletic today? Apparently, attendance is very down at Cowboys training camp. So John Machota does a good job covering the team. Said usually there's like bleachers in Oxnard, and then there's like fans in bleachers, and then there's also fans like around the fence, and everyone's trying to get autographs and all that stuff. Fun. 75% of the bleachers were empty. It's kind of odd. I mean, enough for them to remark about it in this article. I mean, we're not there, and we don't know what the cameras are going to show us, but 75% of the bleachers were empty? A Cowboys training camp? I mean, I know the Joneses went out of their way to say how much the season tickets had, you know, turned over and how fast they sold out, but is that the fan base kind of telling you we're not as into it this year?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that bodes well for Dak, doesn't bode well for Dak. I'm not sure what it means, but 75% of the bleachers were empty.
Well, I mean, I think that's implying that most years 100% were full. Yep. And what did that do? Who cares? What does it have to do with the impact? Is this going to affect your bet on the over-under of the team wins?
No, but I think about loyal listeners to the show, like Big Dave in Kentucky and other big Cowboy fans who are fed up with the team.
Absolutely.
And I think they're showing it.
Maybe, but even so, like all these headlines about the Cowboys, in my mind, are totally overrated. They're like, oh, they haven't signed this guy, they haven't signed that guy, they didn't spend money here. Like, we do this thing in the offseason where we're like, oh my God, they won in March. They signed this dude. They re-signed Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. The reality is, come October, all that's going to seem like ancient history, and most free agent signings are busts. A huge percentage of them are. We just get crazy, in March, we get this over-the-hill pass rusher for $17 million a year. Sorry, I'm looking at your bills, for example.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it doesn't work out. We just get way overexcited about offseason headlines. Maybe this all works out fine for the Cowboys. There's a really good chance that they actually have a ton of talent on that team, and that's why they're so darn expensive.
I wonder what working out means.
Like 12-5 again.
Okay.
11-6.
And that's with Dak's future solidified or up in the air?
Well, I mean, if they, of course, up in the air, but they're definitely going to let him go through this year, and they're definitely going to reset the market with some insane number next year. This is how he's done it every single time. But it could work out. Like, they just, one of the reasons, I heard an interesting argument from actually Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, said, you know, the reason the Cowboys have no money to spend is because they have 14 really good players who they have to pay. So they've drafted really well. They have talent around their roster. So we forget that, I think. Like, there's a chance that they're good. I think everyone's dismissing this because of all the negative headlines about CeeDee Lamb holding out and Dak. The reality is, you're in this situation because you do have some talent.
You're absolutely right. And we're talking about Jordan Love getting paid and Tua getting paid over the weekend. And here's Dak sort of last man standing, if you will, because even Matthew Stafford got a contract restructure. But here's the thing about that. You mentioned the 49ers. They kind of go through the same thing, right? They've got so many people to pay that now Brandon Ayuk is holding out and Trent Williams is holding out and all that stuff. But you know they're going to pay Purdy. Like, all this stuff and all the moving and shuffling around is presumably so they have enough in the coffers to make Purdy this all-time offer. That's why I think this is weird about the Cowboys. Yeah. Like, you have all these great players you have to pay, and that's all well and good, but the quarterback's the most important one. Mm. So, like, that's why this is always, it feels just like bad team building to me if the quarterback's not your priority.
Well, you also know that Brock Purdy and that system can get you to the Super Bowl. You do not know that with Dak Prescott.
A little proof of concept.
I mean, remember last year, I think we need to go in a time machine to January 18th, when they got killed by the Packers. I remember Big Dave and so many other Cowboys fans were like, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do Dak Prescott. And somehow, everyone sort of calmed down over the offseason. He came in second, and everyone became pro-Dak. I don't understand what happened. There was so much anti-Dak energy in February coming out of Dallas. Now people are like, well, he was really good. They went back and looked at the tape. He is really good, but there's something about this team that just seems stuck in a time loop where they just keep doing the same thing over and over again. How do you break that loop? Because Jerry's not going anywhere, Maggie. I'm sorry. I cannot get you a new GM.
855-212-4227. Okay, so that's on the table first. And foremost, we will dive deeper into the Tua contract and into the Jordan Love contract, because they were both, you know, the money, I guess, looks sort of similar. 4 years, 220 for Love, 4 years, 212 for Tua. But when you dive into it, teams were sending very different messages with these two contracts. So we'll get into all of that without boring you. Next, Maggie and Perloff on this Monday. Happy to have you on the Infinity Sports Network.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have a situation, Maggie. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I don't know when we're going to get into this, but it's weighing heavily on my mind. It is a statistical anomaly. I would say it's a freak accident. Sometimes you have a really great system and things just don't work out, or maybe they did work out, Maggie, because we have a greatest sitcom ever bracket controversy.
For a second, I wasn't sure where you were going with that. No, it's like, you mean democracy? It's like the best we got? It's not perfect,
well,
but it's the
listen,
best we got?
I mean, the words recount have been thrown around.
Hanging chads, that's
hanging
how you know
chads, it. Like, usually an X/Twitter poll is a very safe way to determine who is a winner. You know, we have the Final Four, the Maggie and Perloff TV sitcom bracket, and The Office went up against Cheers. Great matchup. The Office was winning all weekend, and at the last second, Cheers fans jumped in and made a run. And now tell the audience what we have.
Deadlock. 50-50. It's a even tie. And we even went to a desktop computer to see if maybe different than the phone, if you get like 0.1%. Still, 50-50. It's bananas. This is The Office versus Cheers, a one seed versus a two seed in the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket Final Four, just straight up locked in a tie. So
woke up this morning, saw the numbers. Hey guys, still cannot believe. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of votes, almost 700 votes in this poll, and somehow even number. I still can't believe it.
So what we're gonna do? I mean, I don't know. We have to talk about how we want to do this here. Now, technically, the voting is closed, right? It closed at midnight. It's over 50-50. If you go to our Twitter handle right now, you can't do a dang thing about it. It's just locked 50-50. What we're going to do is we're going to do another sudden death poll. Because I was talking to Perloff. I'm like, why don't we make an impassioned plea for one of the shows? And you do one, and I'll do we'll kind of do this debate style. You'll get in the mood for debate season or whatever. And Perloff said, you said no. You were vehemently against this.
No, like you're like our founding fathers. You want the delegates to make the choice here. I want to actually, unlike half of the parties, I want the people to elect the candidate. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so was that a shot? Oh, man.
Easy. So
Anyway, I want the people to decide here, not us. Cheers and The Office. By the way, what a great matchup. Great shows. Totally 100% approval rating on both. I had trouble choosing here.
Iconic shows, both of them. And so, EJ, we think we're just going to open up the voting here for like a sudden death 1 hour or 2 hour voting block.
I think we should do 2 hours. Okay. I think give people time. We can kind of update the people later on in terms of how the voting is going, if they still want to go back. I mean, maybe that was a problem with this because we, you know, retweeted yesterday the voting was open, and that's when Cheers made this last second run here. But I think maybe we can update the poll throughout the day or throughout the morning, and then we'll have a winner by 9 o'clock.
Okay, so there we go. It's 6:20 a.m. Eastern time. We'll open up the poll in about 40 minutes and at Maggie and Pearl on X, and we'll have 2 hours, and it's just simple. It's The Office or it's Cheers. Who moves on to the title match to take on? Should I do the other result?
Sure.
While we're here.
Oh.
You can. I mean, it was such a landslide. Like, if anyone saw this, it was just, Seinfeld has just demolished this bracket. Now, did they get a bit of an easy draw?
Maybe.
That's something that would be taken up with the committee.
This reminds me a lot of the Baylor-Gonzaga Final Four, I think it was 2021, where Gonzaga had to beat UCLA in a last-second heave, and then they had no juice for the final game on Monday night and got blown out by Baylor. So is Seinfeld the Baylor with Scott Drew as the coach of this bracket?
Maybe. It was the Johnny Juzang of
who's
the...
Who's Gonzaga?
What's that?
Who's Gonzaga?
Cheers?
I don't know. They were the one seed. Yeah, I guess it would be Cheers.
So this is it. This is what's on the line right now. So again, in about 40 minutes, we'll open up the sudden death poll. I mean, this is maybe this is a little roadmap of how they should do this in November. You know, it's a poll and then a second poll. Who knows? Anyway, this is how we're going to do it today, and we'll see who reigns.
Oh, you heard that? That was
trivia.
The bell is back. That was an accidental bell hit, Maggie. We've been, I don't know how this started. There was no plan. We have a bell to call for trivia. We did football trivia last week. I understand we might be moving on to a new sport.
Well, I mean, you have baseball deadline, trade deadlines tomorrow, right? Lots of trades going on over the weekend. So, Big Zoo, hit us off with a little baseball trivia.
Oh, I think it is about that time to get a little baseball trivia. And we're in that dog day of summertime. Like you said, the deadline coming up. And I got an interesting one here for you. I find it at least interesting. How fast was the fastest pitch ever recorded in a Major League Baseball game?
I got it.
I know.
Hit me.
105 was Aroldis Chapman, right?
Oh, I
will give you extra, Perloff, I will give you extra credit if you can give me the exact decimal that it was.
Oh, I don't know.
There was a decimal?
I don't know, but that's been passed since, right?
It actually has been tied. Aroldis Chapman and...
Did the kid from the A's do it?
No, Jordan Hicks.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, that's a random duo right there. Like, oof. Jordan Hicks, though, doing his thing out in San Francisco, I suppose.
Wait,
right,
what was the actual speed? 105.1. Oh, my God. You know Perloff doesn't believe in radar guns?
Well, you're telling me that Aroldis Chapman threw it 6 miles an hour faster than Nolan Ryan? They changed the way they measure it.
6.1 miles per hour faster.
Wait until you get Perloff's thoughts on the scouting combine gun.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
by the way, Perloff, I've actually been next to Aroldis Chapman. If you stood next to that man, you would believe he could throw it faster than anybody. Trust me. He is.
Than Nolan Ryan? Than Nolan Ryan.
Aroldis Chapman looks like he could be chiseled from the Greek gods. I mean, he is built. Like,
Nolan Ryan could outthrow that dude left-handed, EJ.
Unfortunately,
Nolan Ryan with basically at this age could outthrow Aroldis Chapman.
The only thing about Aroldis Chapman, unfortunately, the last couple of years he can't throw anywhere near the strike zone, and that's a major issue.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, there we go. We transition to some.
What doesn't that the kid on the A's who at the All-Star game that everyone was talking about? Isn't he Mason Miller? Doesn't he throw it like 103 every pitch? He's got to beat this, too. These guys are crazy. You tell me all of a sudden, what has changed? Arms are better? Like, all of a sudden, there's 20 guys who can outthrow the top guys from 20 years ago?
Well, I think now you're not pitching as much as you're throwing, and that's the criticism. All you're looking at is velocity.
Yeah, the whole thought is that they're training these guys to just blow up the radar guns, and that's the problem with some of these guys having these Tommy John surgeries is that they're not going out there pitching. Yeah. They're just throwing.
Well, they do measure the ball differently, like where they pick up the ball. Things have changed. And this stupid 40, Xavier Worthy, like they're going to break it every year from now on. Give me a break.
Perloff has not a conspiracy theorist at all. You have none of this.
No,
you believe
no
the single bullet theory with JFK. I mean, you are not a conspiracy guy. However, the radar gun is where you go totally.
There's no conspiracy.
Chewing on.
Obviously changed. Again, Nolan Ryan, right now, get him out there.
I mean, he'd do it.
He probably could throw a no-hitter right now.
I kind of believe it.
Nolan Ryan is 77. The question is, could he top 100 on the current radar gun? The answer is absolutely yes.
No, he's 77.
The question is, can he throw 105? And the answer is 1,000% no. Okay.
I know, but Chapman, if he threw 105 right now, it'd end up in the second row.
Look at it. Watch some video of Nolan Ryan throwing that ball and tell me there's someone throwing it faster. Maybe Randy Johnson. And Randy Johnson, you're telling me these guys are 4 or 5 miles an hour faster than Randy Johnson in his peak? Get out of here.
Pine Needle has a thought in the chat. Chapman throws the ball about 15 pitches and he's done. Nolan Ryan will throw 180 pitches.
Yeah, and on his 180th, will be faster than anyone. But obviously. My whole generation holds Nolan Ryan up in such lofty standards. Like it's impossible to think anyone throws the ball harder. Bob Feller. What about? I'm looking at other guys. Like there are so many guys. Bob Feller. I don't know why he was on this page. Yeah. Josh. Bob Gibson. Like all these guys are nowhere near. Like they can't be throwing that much faster.
I mean, do you want a poll here? What do you want to do? How do you want to resolve this?
There's no resolving. I'm right.
What's radar guns fugazi. Sorry. Well,
he's yelling at clouds.
Yes.
This is the most old man yelling at clouds.
Call for trivia. Give me another one.
All right, let's go. Let's get another trivia question right over here.
Bobby Zhu in the break said anybody who is watching the 8-2 blowout of the Yankees or Red Sox needs to reevaluate their lives.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
If you saw Jazz Chisholm score his first run as a Yankee last night, I mean, sheesh. Watch House of the Dragon or get some sleep, my friend. Question
Life
time.
Life advice
though.
From Big Zoo.
Question time. What father and son combo are famous for each ending their careers with 319 home runs?
It's gotta be the Griffey.
It can't be the Griffey.
It can't be the Griffey.
I know the answer. Where's my bill?
Wait. Let's see. Who are the famous? Is it the Boones?
Nope.
Oh, unfortunately, Bogus's mic. Don't put Bogus's mic up because he seems to know the answer. So Maggie and I can vamp here a little
319?
Bit.
319.
All right, Maggie, volley back to you.
319. Okay. Did Barry Bonds end up at 319? I can't remember.
After they took away 340.
Father, son. Oh, the Alouz.
Nope.
No.
Who is it?
Bogus. Who is it?
The Fielders.
There you go, Bogus.
My God, that is random. That is so funny.
Yeah,
what a great trivia question.
Another one. You said another one you wanted?
No, I didn't, please go ahead.
There ain't nothing wrong with a couple trivia questions here.
Can we do one until I get one right? With baseball, we might be here a while.
I'm okay with it. Hey, Perloff, I got one for you here. Who had the nickname The Wizard?
Oh, well, obviously, I'm not going to answer that one. That's so obvious. Ozzie Smith, but...
Oh, well...
Yeah,
okay.
So you answered it.
Yeah, finally, I know, but I mean, come on.
One, so we can
you're
going to
throw me a charity baseball trivia question? Is that what we're doing now, Zoom?
That was the equivalent of a pitch that Nolan Ryan would throw right now at 77 years old, right down the middle.
EJ, you're at home with a bum knee. Watch the Nolan Ryan documentary today, and you're going to come out of that thinking, oh, man, this guy is the fastest thrower in history.
All right, Perloff, here you go. Name one of the two teams from the first televised MLB game in 1939. Right up your
go
alley.
Ahead, Doug. It's got to be the Yanks?
The Guardians? I have no idea.
It's a Yank.
The Cleveland Spiders? Were they around then?
I mean, you guys are right. You guys are close.
Yankees,
it's Cincinnati Reds and the Brooklyn Dodgers. You were in the right cities, just the wrong teams.
1939 is not that old. It wasn't the Cleveland Spiders. That was like...
1939 is definitely that old.
Yeah, I mean, what? It's only 90 years ago.
Well, I mean, like, it wasn't like the current teams were all around then. Like, the Yankees were in the middle of their run then. It's not the Cleveland Spiders, really. The Indians were around then, weren't they?
The Guardians.
Yeah. Anyway, we're done, Zoo.
That's enough. We'll save some for later.
Lucky us. Andrew Bogus is here. You heard him get these Fielders correct. Congratulations to you.
Thank you, guys. Good morning. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with Life Electronic Device and Pet Health Insurance. Sometime soon, Brock Purdy will get paid more than Jordan Love and Tua and Trevor Lawrence. For now, the Niners QB focused on being dominant like Tom Brady. Purdy telling the San Francisco Chronicle, quote, late in the game, it always felt like Tom was just going to take over and not make it close. I feel like I can get to that. In case you forgot, Purdy had a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio last season. His Niners had the third best point differential in the league and, of course, made the Super Bowl.
I feel like when most quarterbacks bring up Tom Brady, we kind of, I don't know, we don't chastise them for it, but we kind of laugh or maybe raise an eyebrow, any of that stuff. Did anyone think anything when Purdy said this? We're like, oh, that squares.
I mean, it's nice to have goals.
I'll be honest. At first, I wanted to laugh, but then I thought about him coming back against the Packers and then coming back against the Lions. I thought that seemed like Tom Brady-like comebacks.
Yeah, 3rd and 5 against the Chiefs. That didn't work out so well in a Tom Brady way.
But he's still young.
Yeah, Brady's not losing that in the Super Bowl.
Well, maybe. Brady did lose to the Giants. So
he did. Sure. He did, but
he lost,
twice.
And he lost to the Eagles. Yeah, I mean, he's no Joe Montana. But, yeah, that seems like a crazy thing. You know, it's funny. You can't compare yourself to Patrick Mahomes. Like, Brady, yeah, because Brady was non-athletic and kind of like, yeah, you know, physically was not that great. You can't say I'm the new Mahomes. That would be outrageous.
Yeah, I don't think you can say Brady either.
I think it's easier to say Brady than some other people.
I just is Brock Purdy, like, is he seeing his story like he's setting up to have this Tom Brady run?
Well, Brady was a sixth rounder. Brock Purdy is a seventh rounder who's already been on the brink of a Super Bowl. If anyone's going to claim Tom Brady-ness, at least he's got that angle. There's no other late round picks.
Yeah, but in response to that, I will say, oh, come on. I mean, you got to at least be winning a little bit if you're going to try to say, well, I'm the next Brady story. Like,
well, so I mean, I think what's helpful here is that it's a specific Brady comparison. He didn't say, like, I'm the next Tom Brady. He wants to be clutch like Brady was. I think
don't
that's
they all?
I think at least that it's a targeted Brady comparison, not trying to set the whole storyline out there. Just like, I want to be the closer. I want to be the guy that you know
right.
is going to get my team the finish line. At least he's picking his battles and not just saying I'm going to win 8 Super Bowls and be better than Brady.
I would say, does Brock Purdy already have a better supporting cast than like 17 out of the 25 Brady years?
Probably. Yes. Yeah.
Well, yes. What he's saying is
offensively, yes.
He's saying I want to be Tom Brady. I agree with Bogus. Like, he's aspiring to be Tom Brady. I think you can kind of credit him for that. Like, yeah. I mean, listen, I want to be Dan Patrick, and I'm not going to be him. But, yeah, I'm sure.
You had some time I also want to be Dan Patrick.
That was not going to happen. But, I mean, Purdy, this makes sense. He's saying, I want to be like Tom Brady. I think that's what the mindset you want, because I think everyone right now thinks he's a game manager still. So I think he's kind of saying, I want to bust out of that game manager role and be the star, at least lead my team. Because if he was that guy, maybe he would have scored in the Super Bowl. Maybe it's a mindset thing. Maybe
to your point, Maggie, I think the fact that he has a supporting cast is why he feels so emboldened, because he feels like, I have a team that is so dominant. Like, why can't I go out there and dominate games in the second half? Which, again, I will say, again, maybe not against the Chiefs, but against for the rest of the playoff, that is what he did.
Yeah, I mean, he got a little help there with the Lions.
By the way, you say this thing about Brady's supporting cast.
The Lions imploded. Yeah. Yes.
He did have Bill Belichick as his head coach, and he had the best coach offensive line. There were times where Tom Brady was in the pocket for 9 seconds and the offensive line didn't touch him. But there was a lot going on in New England. It wasn't just Brady, right? Like, we don't think that Brady was, well, maybe, but he had a lot going on too. I'm not sure. You really think that what the Niners have is better than everything around Brady? Because you had Belichick. You had Hall of Famers all over the place. I'm not sure that's so obvious.
But did he really have Hall of Famers all over the place? You had Randy Moss. And then do we actually think that Julian Edelman's getting into the Hall of Fame?
No, but the first batch of Brady titles had
the defensive
Hall
guys.
Of Fame or the, near Hall of Fame defensive players.
Sure,
right, you had Rodney Harrison running around.
And Adam Vinatieri will go to the Hall of Fame. Yes, there were definitely a lot of guys around him. But in terms of offensive weapons, not even close to what Purdy has now.
I'm just
for the
not
majority
sure.
of his career. No disrespect, Deion Branch, but you know what I mean.
I'm not sure that the Niners supporting cast is, if you took away Purdy, like, they're good, don't get me wrong, but to say they're all-time, like, the Patriots.
They went to the Super Bowl with Garoppolo.
I just think, you know, Belichick, let's be honest. They had a great, their special teams was superior in every possible way. I think you're downplaying everybody around Brady a little bit. That's just my opinion. Bogus is right. The first three Super Bowls had defense and special teams. I mean, the first one, the special teams was probably the best unit out of all three.
I totally understand, but I also watched the San Francisco 49ers spend a third-round pick on a kicker, so it's not like they're not investing in these special teams.
Yeah, I also saw them have a backup lineman miss Chris Jones on the key play of the game. I saw Dre Greenlaw go out with an injury. I saw Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, they've had a lot of problems, too. They haven't been exactly smooth sailing.
I don't know about the Brady comparisons. Anyway, Bogus, what else?
Ja'Marr Chase continues his unconfirmed hold-in at Bengals training camp, and now stud defensive end Trey Hendrickson hasn't practiced the last 3 days for undisclosed reasons. Hendrickson did rescind his trade demand, but still apparently wants to get paid better. He is scheduled to make $31 million over the next 2 seasons. On the injury front, Cowboys defensive end Sean Williams suffered a torn ACL and MCL at training camp yesterday, and Patriots D-tackle Christian Barmore is out indefinitely receiving treatment for blood clots. Our dear friend Manny Rodriguez, noted Yankee fan wearing a Phillies hat this morning, declaring in the newsroom that, quote, the World Series is back on because the Yankees did this last night in Boston.
Into the pitch, hit in the air, deep right field. Moving back is O'Neill near the warning track, and it bounces onto the track and into the Red Sox bullpen. Wow. It's going to be a ground rule double. Wow. Torres. Torres will score from third. Rice comes in to follow. On at second with a grounds rule double and two RBIs is Oswaldo Cabrera.
Justin Shackle, Yankee Radio. Aaron Boone's team taking Sunday Night Baseball at Fenway 8-2 to win just its second series in 12 tries.
Gritty series win, you know, especially after that first game, which was another, you know, kind of, as we go through this, tough loss. And, you know, we're not all the way where we want to be right now, of course, but there's a lot of fight in there.
New Yankee Jazz Chisholm debuted in center field, hit fifth, went 1-for-5 with a run scored and a stolen base. The Tampa Bay Rays continuing to make moves before the deadline tomorrow. Setup man Jason Adam goes to San Diego for three prospects. And all-star third baseman Isak Paredes goes to the Cubs for third baseman Christopher Morel and two minor league pitchers. Guys, back to you.
Mm. Bogus, thank you. Yes.
Can the Phillies get one of those Rays players that they're just giving away for free?
The Phillies made two trades last week.
I know. I'm just saying, it's funny to me that the Rays are just like, hey, we got some talented guys. You want them?
It's got to just be such an awful experience being a fan of theirs, because this is a team that's above 500, and the only reason why they're selling off everybody, so it seems, is just because no one else is really being big-time sellers at the deadline. So like, all right, well, if no one else is really being sellers, we'll come in and we'll step in and fill that role.
It's like, but why, though?
They want to reload so they can start whatever the next generation of Rays is going to be.
They got to restart the window here. But these guys,
in 4 years, are going to be like, oh, man, that trade deadline. Now they have all these prospects that are superstars and they're back in the World Series. This is how it always goes with them.
Or do they have to trade him? I mean, Paredes is, he's really young, right?
Only 25.
Yeah. I don't know.
What are the Cubs doing? I mean, they're buying as a team that's under 500. Like, can we explain that?
Well, but this is almost just a baseball trade, because the Cubs get a guy who can play third base, they think, for the next decade. Like, they just made a trade.
Yeah.
He's 25. He has multiple years of control. He's an all-star. So they just got better at third base. Buying or selling, they just made a trade to be better.
I know. It just feels, though, like with the wild card, I feel like this is a trade that wouldn't have happened 4 or 5 years ago. Like, and maybe that's different, but like the Cubs being kind of still in the mix allows these kind of trades to happen.
Guys, thank you. Everyone, fantastic job. Coming up, we're going to play a little game called Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. It's very complicated. We'll explain all the details to you next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Infinity Sports Network. Just want to let you know, we are doing a runoff in the Final Four of the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket. We're on the doorstep of getting to the championship game, but we can't do it because there's been a dead heat, a deadlock over the weekend. Cheers and The Office tied 3 days of voting, and it all ended last night, Pearl, at midnight, 50-50 dead split.
Totally wild. I have a question about these X-polls. Can you vote twice? I don't think you can, right?
No.
I've tried.
Yeah. No, you can only vote one time. So what we're going to do is we're going to open the polls back up at the top of the hour at Maggie and Pearl on X, and we're just going to open them for 2 hours because we've got to get to our championship game here at some point, and we need to do this sort of like sprint to the finish. So if you're a big Cheers fan, if you're a big Office person, then let your voice be heard. Now, in our chat, you can watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. And in a moment on my Twitter handle at Maggie Gray. Titan Man is bringing some facts to the argument. Right now, the big question is, who had the better cast? Cheers or The Office? And also, Titan Man saying Cheers won Best Comedy Emmy 4 times. The Office won 0 times. Now, maybe we can fact check that. Generally, the chat never lies to us, but if we wouldn't mind just giving that a quick Google. The better cast, Perloff, Cheers or The Office?
Well, let's see. The Office, obviously, Steve Carell and John Krasinski are gigantic stars. That you count, like...
I mean, Ted Danson.
Is
Ted Danson bigger than Steve Carell? Like, let's start at the top.
Yeah, okay. Steve Carell versus Ted Danson. You're saying let's give Ted Danson the slight nod?
I mean, Steve Carell's
had huge movies. Ted Danson has not been a movie star.
And then John Krasinski versus Woody Harrelson. I mean, I think you got to go to Woody Harrelson.
Let's go to the third level here.
Third level is probably Rhea Perlman versus Pam. I don't know.
Yeah, or what's Pam's real
name? What's Pam's real name?
Help us out here.
Jenna Fisher.
Jenna Fisher. There we go.
Well, Rhea Perlman's iconic, married to Danny DeVito. Okay.
Who's the third lead on The Office? Dwight Schrute.
Well, Ed Helms.
I would say Dwight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Ed Helms wasn't there the whole run.
So you got Dwight Schrute versus George Wendt as Norm. That's pretty good. That's a good battle.
That's a heavyweight right there.
I think we're tied. Are we going to have to go to like late season Kirstie Alley versus Will Ferrell in the last season? Or remember James Spader came in?
Yes. Idris Elba.
I think Ed Helms is a factor.
Idris Elba.
Ed Helms was very funny.
Definitely. And Ed Helms took off out of that too.
He definitely did.
I mean, there were all those like Kevin and all the other great
side actors. Who's the Cliff
Clavin
of...
I would say Kevin, Brian Bumgarner.
Yeah, that's true.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Craig Robinson. I mean, there was
another breakout from that show.
Yeah. This is not helpful.
Is he the Frasier? Because he went on to have other.
Oh, Frasier.
Ooh. Wow. So Cheers got
Kelsey Grammer.
What's up?
Cheers got four outstanding comedy series Emmys, and Frasier then went on to like become a dynasty after that, winning like every year from 1994. All the way through to 1998, they won the Emmy. So I think Cheers, I mean, just off of its coaching tree.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
the Bill Walsh-esque. Wait, so what about The Office? Is it true? The chat is correct?
I am searching The Office right now, unless EJ has it.
Well, I'm seeing four Emmy awards, including one for Outstanding Comedy Series. So they won once.
That's exactly right. The Office won once.
Okay.
I just got it right now.
The Emmys only, you know, Frasier won the Emmys every year over The Simpsons. People don't necessarily take that into account. So I don't think the Emmys is a
where are the
factor.
Simpsons and right now, Perloff? Where are the Simpsons right now?
They're at home. I will say this, though. We talk about coaching trees. I mean, The Office, we can say maybe they don't have spinoffs of The Office, but I'd argue all of these mockumentary series are spinoffs of The Office.
Well, Best in Show.
Parks and Rec, Modern Family. Like, I think a lot of these shows are inspired by The Office.
So yeah, but The Office itself is a direct spinoff of a British show.
Yeah, and called The Office. Yeah. I would say, like, this is Spinal Tap and Best in Show. Those, like, mockumentaries, I think, kind of set the stage for it.
I think, you know what really set the stage for the mockumentary style of The Office?
Yeah.
The Office.
Yeah. yeah.
They literally took Ricky Gervais's The Office and, like, this show is awesome. Let's do it in America.
So it's a great question, though, about, like, because the cast, I feel like, from Cheers, let's not shortchange. I mean, Zoo mentioned it with Frasier. Woody Harrelson became, like, one of the biggest stars and is still out there making movies. I know he got a little weird, but, like, what actor hasn't? Rhea Perlman icon. George Wendt, one of the super fans. Da Bears, Da Bulls. I mean, multiple iconic roles, I guess, for George Wendt.
Mm.
At least two.
Wait, you're giving him an SNL skit in the second?
The Bears is, like, probably the most famous SNL skit.
If you can find a second role for Cliff Clavin, then I will be very impressed.
Clifford is a voice actor. Don't you dare take Clifford's
John
name.
John Ratzenberger. He actually does theater in Connecticut.
He's in a Disney movie that I'm like, makes my childhood. And when I saw that it was him in it, I was like, wow.
You guys are forgetting Shelley Long.
Yeah, America forgot Shelley Long after she left.
And Kirstie Alley, who went on for big stardom. So I think this is interesting.
Oh, Bebe Neuwirth. Frasier's wife. She shows up all over this
place. Saw her
on
Broadway once when I was a kid. Chicago. Anyway, all of that.
The guy who played Coach.
We also forgot, for The Office, we also didn't mention Ellie Kemper, too. Who also
Ellie Kemper's a huge star.
Kenny Schmidt. Yeah.
It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're both like the ensemble cast.
I could see. I understand why there was a tie. I really do.
So polls are going to open top of the hour. Get to it, everybody. If you want to vote, no, it's your choice. This is a free country. It is a democracy. Perloff and I were going to try to decide this ourselves, but that would just be un-American. So you get to decide, and we'll open the polls for 2 hours.
I think I'm going to vote Cheers for one reason, but I'm not sure. I haven't cast my ballot. I think the older shows should be represented. I think that'd be kind of nice. I think The Office is amazing. Like, there's nothing wrong with The Office, but let's get, like, a classic in there because all the old shows got slaughtered in our sitcom bracket.
I mean, I hate to tell you this.
An older show.
I hate to tell you this. Seinfeld's like 35 years old. Yeah. It's going on 40 years old, guys. Like, it's not new. There were no cell phones. Like, they had all the premises for like 60% of the Seinfeld episodes would have been totally cleared up if someone just had a pager.
Oh my God.
Seinfeld started 2 years before I was born. Like, that's an old show now.
I'm looking for Zoo and Ryan.
Other people on Cheers. Remember Dan Hedaya played, I think, Rhea Perlman's husband, and he was the dad in Clueless. That guy. Remember that guy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I don't know who he played, actually. He was in a lot. And Jay Thomas, who went on to be a radio star. There's all these other. Cheers was on forever. Everybody who guest starred on Cheers became a superstar. We're forgetting a lot. Cheers was, I think, the most popular show for like a 4-year run. The Office was probably never the highest rated show, was it? I feel like it's done more streaming.
Yeah, but also it's tough to say on rated because 1988, you didn't have as many options as in 2008 in terms of what to watch, when do you watch it.
There are probably sitcoms that did bigger numbers than The Office. I'm actually sure of it.
No, I know, but it's like there were four things to watch in 1988.
Right, but they were all like all the big shows were sitcoms. I'm sure there were three or four sitcoms that did way bigger numbers than The Office.
Oh, like Big Bang Theory or How I Met Your Mother or something?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm just saying nobody did better. Cheers was a huge thing. What was it called? Must See TV on Thursday night? Like, I think for years people would, and Seinfeld too, people would go to their TVs on Thursday night to watch this. The Office was never like that.
Oh my gosh. Daily's in the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySports at Moe's versus Coach. Moe's, Dwight Schrute's cousin on the beet farm, or Coach, who, did Coach actually own Cheers, the bar?
No. He was just the bartender.
He was just the bartender?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
He was Sam's former coach.
Right. Yeah. I knew that. I wasn't sure if he actually owned the bar.
It was pretty funny.
The highest rated show from what I'm seeing from 2008. In terms of sitcoms, we're talking 2.5 Men.
Yeah, of course.
Early exit in this bracket.
Yeah, not seeing a top 25 listing here for The Office. That's a tough look.
All right, stick to baseball trivia, Zoo. Focus here. Focus, buddy.
All right, we've got so much more to do. 855-212-4227. Polls open, top of the hour. Let's break this tie, everybody. Is it Cheers or is it The Office? What do you think?
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.